When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome to Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is brought to you by 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy. You can find them at sithappens.us. Look for the 90 Days to the Perfect Puppy link at the top of the page. How are you tonight, Allison?
I'm well.
Well, I'm very excited.
You're going back to the woods.
Well, eventually.
In this episode, you're going back to the woods.
Yes, I am, but I'm excited about something else. I'm excited about another episode. Episode 200. The Ohio Siege.
Mm-hmm.
Someone contacted me. I don't know if he wants to be named on the air, so.
Okay.
I will happily give him credit in the future if he doesn't mind being identified, but I don't know if he wants to or not. But he's an investigator that was around at the time, knew a lot of the primary investigators that worked on that, and has given me some wonderful information that furthers my knowledge of what was going on there in Ohio, 1980, 1981.
So this is the family who were so scared about the Bigfoot in their backyard that they sat on the roof with the guns.
Yes, it is.
I remember that story. Like, sometimes you'll say, like, oh, episode such and such, and I'll be like, I'm lost. But no, I definitely remember that episode.
A lot of the people involved have died. A few are still alive, but I'm tracking down more information, and I'm going to pursue this further. And since it's on my mind, and I've spent all day digging into it again, I'm going to put the call out for anyone out there who might be listening who might have further information on the sightings around Rome, Ohio, and Rock Creek, Ohio, in 1980 and 81. Or actually, anytime. If you have modern sightings from those areas, I want to hear about them too. So get in touch. Now, tonight's episode, Gazoo's Woods, Part 2.
Gazoo Part 2.
If you didn't listen to the last episode, you probably should. It lays all the groundwork, tells about how we named the place Gazoo's Woods, tells about our previous visits to the place, and begins our on-site recordings from the other night when we were there. So when we left off, Chad and I were in the graveyard that's surrounded on three sides by woods. It's a very active night. Got the creeps, started hearing stuff from the moment we exited his truck. And it went on from there. We will continue on tonight's show. However, before we do that, want to talk about our new sponsor, MHZ Choice. They're a streaming service like Netflix or Hulu or HBO Max. It's MHZ Choice. It's MHZ as in zebra. You can find them at mhzchoice.com. Strange Familiars listeners in the United States and Canada could get their first month free by using the promo code STRANGE at checkout. It's the first month free, and it's just $7.99 a month after that. No commitment, you can cancel anytime. MHZ Choice has programs from over 20 countries. It's primarily mysteries and dramas from Europe, and they're always expanding. All the programs are presented in their original language, so you don't have those silly overdubs. But the subtitles are really nice. They do their own subtitles in-house.
Easy. Yeah, it makes you feel like, oh, I understand this language. It's so easy to...
It's easy to follow. They're easy to read. You're not rushing to finish one line before the other one pops up. I think they have a lot of shows that would be of interest to our listeners, but we've been watching one called Secta. Episodes 1 and 2 dropped last week. Episodes 3 and 4 dropped this week. It's a Russian drama, I guess. Mystery, crime, all of these things mixed together, mm-hmm. about a cult and about people trying to deprogram someone from a cult. It was very, very interesting, and I still can't tell exactly which way it's going to go. It's unclear as to who the bad guys are. Maybe everyone's a bad guy.
There certainly seems to be plenty of bad guys. I think this past week, the star of the show is definitely there's a little girl that plays in it, and she's perhaps the best actor in the whole thing. She's fantastic.
Yeah, she's an amazing actress, yes.
This isn't like scary horror. It's that unhinged feeling, like where you just don't know,
yeah,
like what's
yeah.
happening, and you feel out of sorts in the same way that the primary characters do.
I've really been enjoying Secta, really been enjoying MHZ Choice. You guys can too. That code Strange, when you redeem it, it can only be redeemed at mhzchoice.com through a direct subscription. You can't redeem that on their partner platforms like Amazon Prime, Cox, Xfinity, the Roku channel, etc., etc. So go right to mhzchoice.com, use the promo code STRANGE, and get your first month free. All right, so before we go back to Gazoo's Woods, I want to mention, as I always do with on-site shows, the audio is inconsistent. I do my best to even it out.
But it's fundamentally not a studio.
It is not. We're outside.
Same thing that allows you to pick up strange things in the woods is the same thing that detracts from the quality.
Well, I do my best to even it out, but it is imperfect. I think it's worth it. I think this is, so far, this is a big statement to make. I think this is my favorite on-site show we've done so far. Maybe it's just because it's the most recent and the most immediate, and the feelings of awe you get when you encounter this stuff, it's a little bit fresher this time than it was previous times. I think you're in for a treat.
So one thing I want to say is a lot of these noises, some of the cracks we heard, the wax, and some of the stuff arcing through the woods, you know, landing, they sounded like they were right beside us.
Yes.
I mean, at the one time, remember,
that's why we were getting so freaked out. They didn't sound like they were 50 yards away.
No. I mean, we're flashing our flashlights. Lights are on the whole time.
Yeah.
And I'm literally standing off the cemetery in the woods. Probably, yeah. I don't know, 5-10 yards, trying to see something. And I think I even say in the one clip, you know, like, I hear it. It's right beside me. And you even said, Chad, it's right beside you. And we saw nothing.
Yeah. No, one time it hit right in front of you. You could hear it hit right in front of you. We didn't see anything.
No, nothing being kicked up.
No.
Nothing. And that's what was really weird in us out.
Disturbing.
Disturbing.
It was very disturbing. Okay, so this next segment, we're still at the cemetery. Just go ahead and play that.
You just touch me?
I did not.
Felt like you tapped my left arm.
No.
There's no acorns dropping. It's too early in the year for that.
And you notice we come to the edge of the woods with lights and it completely stops on this side.
All right, so I'm standing right now. I'm 15 feet from the tree, from the wood edge. My light's penetrating at least 30 yards into
At least.
Because these woods are not thick.
They're not. See, something hit right there.
Yeah. I keep hearing something walking out there, but I'm not seeing
it. Yeah. Not the creeping freaking willies, dude. Whoa. I got eye shine or something in my light here.
I'm coming back to see it.
I don't know.
Where?
Where was it?
All right, turn the light off. See it in my light? Come in front of me.
There was a flash right there.
To the right of that tree.
This tree?
Yeah, to the right, back in there. It's red orange again.
See it?
Yeah, there it was.
Did you hear that last thing?
Yeah.
It sounded electronic.
And it's like when I was here. Yeah. Okay. When you were standing over here and I asked you if you heard that.
Yeah.
That's the truck.
I got these disoriented there for a second.
Jeez. It was like beep, 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 beep.
You know what I mean? That's...
That definitely came out of the tree.
Yeah. Or through it.
Through the trees is what I meant.
Yeah, like...
Hear that?
I did. It sounded like it was, like, right beside you.
I know.
Right in front of you.
I know. There's nothing there.
There's nothing there. Hear that? Listen.
I heard that. Like a thumping.
No, listen.
Huh?
Sounds like somebody dragging something on the road.
This is bizarre.
So, I'm not sure what you guys can glean from what we're describing here, but there's woods that are, I mean, there's woods, but they're, you can see into them pretty well.
They're cleaned out.
On all sides of us. And there's things, there's noises that they're happening really close.
Well, you said it sounded like something dragging. I was hearing like a, it was like a click, 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 click. What was that?
I don't know.
Did you hear that?
I did hear that.
So that ends once again with you say, did you hear that? Right before you say, did you hear that? There's this weird cry. I assume that's what you were talking about. You said, did you hear
that? Yeah, it? Yeah. And I don't remember what it sounded like.
It's
just
weird.
Strange.
It's really weird. Let's play that three times and I'll ask everybody to kind of try to remember that sound for the next clip we play after this. I don't have any clue what that cry is.
Neither do I.
So we decided, let's clear out of the cemetery. There's no solving this mystery, you know?
No. We were there for what? I don't know, a while, just trying to see what was there. And we were seeing nothing. And at this point, we're like pretty well exhausted.
Yeah, it's not that we were necessarily afraid. It was more just like, okay, we've experienced this now for an hour or whatever it was. Probably more than an hour, honestly. Kind of like, what do we do now? It's like the same thing is going to happen over and over. Things are going to get thrown. We're going to hear cracks. We're going to shine the light. We're not going to see anything. So we literally decided, let's change our angle. Literally change the angle. So we drove around down the bottom where we parked the first time we went, where I parked the first time I went. And we decided, let's walk up into Gazoo's Woods from there.
Now, one thing I want to note is when we got down there, there were a bunch of deer across the road.
Mm-hmm.
And we literally had the eye shine coming off the deer, and we watched how the deer behaved with us flashing flashlights on.
I'm pretty sure that's all on the tape, too. Yeah.
And they acted nothing like the eye shine and the eye glow that we were seeing in the cemetery.
Yep.
And none of it was even close to that.
Yeah.
It was different.
No.
Way different. So I just wanted to say that again. That was just something to take note of.
We walk up and we go into the area we call Gazoo's Woods. It's simply a kind of a change in the way the woods look right there.
Yeah. They become more open there. You start going up the hill.
Yeah, it's something changes. But the feeling changes as well. We both noted it.
Yeah.
As soon as we went in there, it's like, oh, this is creepy again.
It's like a boundary.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and play that. So just to illustrate the difference from what we could see before and or not see, as the case may be, we came down around the other side of the woods, and the woods are actually thicker down here where that deer is thicker than they are up there. There's more undergrowth and stuff, and we could see a deer, and that deer is it's 20, 30 feet back in there, probably.
Yeah.
And you can see it fine.
Yeah, it's feeding, doesn't care.
So whatever
I mean, it's about 50 yards, maybe, roughly, from the truck. Because we can see it in the headlights.
Mm-hmm. So whatever was in the woods, cracking branches, we think we had stuff thrown at us. Whatever that was, we couldn't see.
No. Couldn't see it at all.
And we had easily 30-foot view into the woods, if not...
No, we had more than 30-foot view. Yeah. We had a good 20, 30 yards.
Yeah.
Okay. You ready?
I suppose so.
Let's see what we got here, if any.
We got three or four deer down here. That is not the same set of eyes that I saw.
No.
Earlier.
No.
Remember there was one pair of eyes when we were up on the hill
by the cemetery, and we walked down through the woods towards it, and it didn't move. And these guys are moving their eyes. They're acting totally different. And if I'd walk towards them, you'd hear them through the woods.
Yeah.
What I saw when I walked towards those eyes as we went down that trail is it just kind of melted and disappeared.
Yeah.
Total difference. I'm glad they're there, because that's actually giving us...
So they're the same distance as the noises we were hearing, Tim, and they're moving, and we can't hear them moving at all.
This part of the woods feels different.
It does. This whole side feels different, honestly.
This goes up to the cemetery, or this does?
This does, to the right.
Yeah, it's the red blade.
Yeah.
And it started.
Yep. Hear that.
Now, what'd you hear?
I hear like a... There's like a gribble I heard earlier. Like odd laughter.
Okay.
Huh?
I heard it, I think.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
I gave you a special rock. I want something.
Well, okay. What the f*** was that?
I don't know.
We both asked a question in the woods now. I asked mine later. This ends with you asking your question to the woods. You said, I left you something. So you had left the rock that Diane gave us a couple episodes ago in the cemetery.
Yeah.
So that she felt was thrown at her. Let's leave it at the cemetery. So you left it at the cemetery. And you said something along the lines of, I left you something. I would like something in return.
Yeah, I was like...
And my heart just sinks. I'm like, oh, that's not the way you... Don't you... That's not the way you ask.
It wasn't like I was trying to intimidate or antagonize.
I know. You weren't.
Like, I just didn't think of it then. I mean, right. Normally I'm pretty good.
You're right.
I'm normally pretty good at being like, hey, you know, please.
Right.
But I was just like, by this point, you know, I guess it's getting late in the evening. I'm tired.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just like, hey, I left you something really special. I would like something special also in return. And now, once you...
As soon as you said that...
Not even a second after.
This weird cry comes out. Like, from... It was freaky. So we go up there and we catch this eye shine. And what was weird was you caught it in your flashlight. I'm wearing a headlamp.
Yep.
I could see it when you had your flashlight on. You moved your flashlight to try to get a different angle and walk down the trail a little way. I tried to keep it in my headlamp so I could keep my eyes on it.
Right.
As soon as you took your flashlight off of it, I couldn't see it anymore.
I still could.
So I couldn't see it anymore. And you moved down the trail. I guess you said, did you?
I could see
you
it.
You could still see it.
Okay. And I was probably, I don't know, 5 feet ahead of you?
Yeah, something.
No more than 5 feet.
Maybe
no
10 than, at the yeah. most.
And it was looking at me the whole time.
So we see this. I mean, that was eye shine. That was 100% eye shine. That was nothing but eye shine. Wasn't deer. It was reddish.
It never moved. It was focused on me the whole time.
Maybe that's why I didn't see it. Maybe it literally turned its head to follow you.
It might have been.
Because I had my headlamp focused on that point. And then it's like I looked away for a split second and I couldn't see it anymore. So now it's a tense moment anyway, and now we've lost, well, I've lost sight of where it is. And then you ask for this.
The totally inappropriate way.
And then we get this weird cry back from the direction, roughly the direction that we were seeing.
Of the eyes.
These eyes.
And it was deafening. I mean, it was...
It was, yeah. It's like the... It just these never come out on the recordings the way they are when you're there. It was so immediate and so weird, and it almost sounded like it had a knock and a cry at the same time. Like something hit or broke a branch or something.
It was like, when I listened to the recording, now at the time, to me, it sounded like one thing.
Mm-hmm.
But once I listened to the recording you sent me, it was like the cry was first, and then there was like a knock and a crack.
Yeah, I don't know.
It was like,
yeah,
it was crazy. But at the time, it was just like, we were like, holy, what was that?
I think, like, so immediately, like, I probably within, you drove that night, you actually dropped me back in the house. I think probably as soon as you got home, you were texting me and like, did you capture that cry on the recording?
Yeah, because I...
And you asked me like a bunch of times.
Like, I don't know. I was obsessed.
I don't know if it's on there or not. And I finally got to it. And yes, we did. So let's go ahead and play that thing. And again, doesn't sound unlike the weird cry we heard in the previous clip at the cemetery. But let's go ahead and play that three times.
So if anybody has any theories...
Well, I'm sure people are going to say coyote or fox.
Whatever, you know, but it was not a fox. I've never heard a fox like that before.
It wasn't. And it was so perfectly on cue when you asked for that, and it just came back.
Well, here's the thing. So let's just say, for skeptic's sake, let's just say it was a coyote or a fox. The point is, it was like right after I asked that.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what are the odds?
It was immediately, you know, obvious.
Or what if it was something pretending to be a coyote or a fox?
Speaking of odds, let's play this next thing.
Yeah. And gone. There was a set of eyes right there. Mm. Now there it is.
Oh wait, I see it.
Yeah. Now what's that? That moved. There just something white just moved off here. Like I saw a body move out. Now the question is that a deer? But it didn't look like a deer. Trail.
Whatever that is, it's just staring right at us.
Yeah. Here we go again. Something just arced off to the left. To me.
I heard it.
But I just saw a big movement, like, right there.
I'm just trying to get a different angle. Did you lose it?
I lost it a while ago. It wouldn't pick up in my... It would only pick up in your light.
So that noise, that answer I got was down in here.
Yeah, well, instead of walking towards it, why don't we see if we can get another answer.
Okay.
We have a recorder. Why don't you say something?
You said we left you something special. I'm just wondering if you're willing to leave something for us.
Did you lock your car?
I think so. Why, did you hear it go off?
No, I just thought I heard like a car door sound.
Oh, Jesus. I'm making you nervous.
I'm making you nervous. Or if you'd like to throw something, do not hit us. If you'd like to throw something, how about that?
How about that?
Not sure how well you could hear that, but basically I said, throw something. Don't hit us.
I'm glad you put that piece in there.
But throw something. On cue. Right beside us. Something hits. It's very apparent. It's very loud on the audio. I'll go ahead and play that. Just the sound of that hitting three times. And that wasn't edited. That happened as quick as you hear it. On the recording.
Yeah.
As soon as...
I mean, it was... None of this is edited.
Time-wise, it's not edited.
Yeah, and we were, like, standing still. Like, that cry stopped us, because I was moving forward, and then when we heard that cry, that's when we were like... We both stopped.
Yeah. Something got thrown. Now, I was so kind of focused ahead and, you know, looking down the trail in this area where we saw the eyes and where that sound came from, I didn't think to look for a second at whatever was for whatever was thrown. It didn't occur to me. I wanted to find that eye shine again and keep it in, you know, to kind of see where it was.
Right.
Keep my eye on it. I don't know that we could have found it anyway in the dark. So no, I didn't find whatever was thrown at us. But you can hear it. You can hear it. It hits immediately after we ask for it. All right, let's play this last clip where I asked something that made you uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Was that you that left the stuffed animals?
I don't think you should have asked that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's things arcing through the leaves.
Exactly.
You can hear them hit leaf, 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 and then hit the ground.
Mm-hmm. Is that a warning? Do you want us to leave? Or do you want us to stay? Are we welcome here?
Can you throw something again? Don't hit us.
Yep. I think it's time to go. Let's see you.
Yeah.
We're going now.
You alright?
I'm trying to, like, watch as we go back because the eyes have moved.
Uh-huh.
What, sir?
Oh, lovely.
Huh?
I said lovely.
We're being paced out.
Yep.
That was not a deer down in there, Tim.
Yeah.
Huh?
No. So in that segment, you said, I don't think you should ask that.
Yeah.
Why?
I immediately got the feeling, like, the whole time we were down there on the lower section, mm-hmm. not on the cemetery, it was like we showed up again, and whatever was there, whatever you want to call it, I don't know what it is.
Well, neither of us.
It was like regarding us. Remember me saying that? I said it feels like we're being regarded. Like, you know, why are you here?
Mm-hmm.
Like, oh, you're back.
Right.
We weren't expected to appear from that direction.
Right. Okay.
And then when we got that cry and all that, it was kind of like, oh, and then we were still being regarded. And then when you asked that, it was like, that's not for you to know. And it's just like you kind of crossed the line. You know, we had pushed the line already.
Right, right.
And then it was like, okay, no, you're done. You're not supposed to know that. That's not for you.
There's something else we talked about on the way home in the truck. And at some point you asked us, like, if you want us to leave, you know, give us a sign or something
right.
like that. And there was nothing.
It was nothing.
Nothing was thrown, nothing, no cries, no anything. And as we're driving back, you said, you know, it was almost like it was making up its mind. It was trying to decide.
It was thinking.
And when you said that, I got chills because that's exactly the impression I had.
That's what I meant by, like, it was regarding.
Like it was trying to decide, like, do I want them here or do I not want them here? Like,
mm-hmm.
it was, like, when you said that, that's 100% of the feeling I got. It wasn't answering because it didn't have an answer. It was trying to decide.
I felt like there was an intelligence there. I don't know. I mean, call me crazy, but it was like there was something there thinking. And then, like I said, it was trying to decide what to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
It gave us some stuff, you know, not physical stuff, but like, you know,
right. The cry and the stone or whatever.
And then you asked that question and it was like, okay,
mm-hmm.
you know, now it's decided it doesn't want us there anymore. And that's when we pulled out. Yeah, it was like we were like on the edge and we were seeing something and it's just sitting there looking at us like, what do I do with you guys?
So the whole experience, like you said, it did remind me of Pandemonium. As we're leaving, one thing reminded me of White Rocks and our solstice hike. So yeah. We saw those red lights or whatever they were up on the top of White Rocks, which started as one light and then came up two that looked like they were spaced like eyes. And we're heading out. It's just after midnight. And I don't know if you were back or you went back to look.
I stopped.
You stopped.
And I stopped and flashed the light
and
back.
And then you kind of came up to me and you said, hey, as fast as you can, but safely, let's get out of here.
Well, actually, you were so far ahead of me, I had to run to catch. I'm not saying you were flying out of there, but you never stopped. Like,
yeah,
I stopped.
Yeah.
And I had to run to catch up to you.
So, but that was White Rock. So this was very much like that. So we decided to go, and I'm kind of making my way out of Gazoo's Woods and down through the other part. You had stopped to look behind. Mm-hmm. I didn't know, and I kept going. And you kind of called up to me again, and you're like, yeah, those eyes came closer.
Yeah, they literally moved up the trail.
Wow.
And that's when I was, and like I said, I had to run to catch up to you. And I turned around, I'm like, oh man, he's way back.
you were talking about it.
I was talking about this time.
Gazoo's. Oh, okay.
Gazoo's, okay. I really had to, because you were probably a good 15 yards ahead behind me.
Yeah, so that reminded me of White Rocks, both very similar to that.
We both said on the way out, like, we were being escorted out. We mm-hmm. were being paced out.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we mentioned that, too. All right, so a few days afterwards, I went back. I couldn't wait. I had to go and see if that rock was taken that you left at the cemetery. I had to go look. You were somewhere else that day.
I was working. So
this is my first solo hike since being in the hospital, so... Go ahead and play that, and you'll notice how loud the cicadas are in these clips. At night, when we were there,
we actually saw some hatching out.
We saw some, right? Night. But there's a din of cicadas in these clips you can hear.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I'm here at what we call Gazoo's Woods by myself. This is my first solo hike since getting out of the hospital. But I had to come back and see what I could see after our night the other night. And one thing you'll notice right away, the background noise of the cicadas. Definitely, we're not chirping the other night when we were here, not like this. It is a din of cicadas. Not going to be able to hear much else. Here I'm entering what we've been calling Gazoo's Woods. This is about where Chad and I were the other night when we caught the eye shine and had things thrown at us. Had that weird cry after Chad asked for something, which I didn't think he should have done. Oh boy. So there is a big, you know, maybe tree structure right where we saw the eye sign. I'm going to call that a maybe tree structure, but it's right where we were seeing the eye shine the other night. Very interesting. Okay, so that clip ends with, I find this maybe tree structure, but it was right where we saw those eyes. Right where we saw the eyes on the trail. And I call it a maybe tree structure because some are kind of woven together and something with hands had to do them.
Right.
To it. It's harder to tell. But the interesting is, it's the placement. It was right where we saw those eyes, the red eyes. And it was bent over the trail, so you had to walk under it to stay on the trail. So it's kind of arched over the trail. Living tree, bent, arched over the trail, and then, you know, some dead structures kind of holding it in place. It's a maybe, but the placement of it sure is interesting.
Yeah.
It sure is interesting where it was.
So when we were on the lower end, we were on a level spot, and you had said, because I asked you how the trail went mm-hmm. when you get back, and you said it dropped down into a little valley, and then it turned mm-hmm. at a corner mm-hmm. to the left, and that's where the tree structure was?
Actually not. So
it made the corner, and it started going uphill.
No, it was on the way down.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I think where we were looking at those eyes, they were closer than you think.
So they were downhill a little bit from us. Mm-hmm. See, because I remember when I walked forward, it looked like the trail went downhill a little bit. We were mm-hmm. like on a shelf.
Yep.
If that makes any sense. Yep. So that's why that cry sounded like it was coming up.
Exactly.
And up and like out of a bowl.
Exactly.
Okay. So that map puts that all into.
Yeah. Yeah, there's actually a little, it's been so long since you were there during the day. There's actually a little bridge down the bottom. When you get all the way down the bottom, there's a little like 5-foot wooden bridge just across a little like creek gully. It's before you get to that bridge.
Oh, okay.
Down the hill. But again, it had to have been, like by my estimation, like right where we were seeing those eyes.
That was really close.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it was
we'll
a lot.
We'll have to go back again, definitely. Yeah.
So then I make my way up to the cemetery. I'm looking for any stuffed animals. In all the usual and unusual places, I guess. Somewhere in here was the pug stuffed animal that day. We found it. It was a little bit further off the cemetery, and we usually find them, which was pretty odd, I thought, in and of itself. I remember it being right out here. I do not see it. Now, the question is, oh, no, there's the pug. I see it. It's still here. It's been moved, but it's here. So the pug is still here. It's been moved from the last time we saw it. It was closer to it. There's a big stump where they cut down a tree. It's closer to that. It was closer to that big stump before, and now it's just laying here with its eyes torn out. It was in new condition when we found it before, and I understand stuffed animals can rot and so forth, but this just seems like it has its eyes just torn out. It's very creepy. Very creepy. And there are some, again, maybe tree structures in here, which we found the other night, actually, when we were walking through here. They look more like tree sigils. A la Blair Witch. So we found the remains of a stuffed animal out here before. Oh, there we go. It's been moved. I'm assuming these are the same remains that we saw before. Well, there's a deer running through the woods. Something scared it up in broad daylight. It's a big one too. and hadn't clocked me yet. Didn't even go into Gazoo's woods. It headed that way, made a sharp right turn, crossed the street, and went up the hill in the other direction. I don't know if that means anything or not. Certainly would have been easier to go downhill.
Boy, that is a big spider.
Yeah, it's a mother wolf spider. And she's got all the baby wolf spiders on her back. She is massive. A big old wolf spider. Biggest wolf spider I've ever seen, I think. Got all her babies on her back. Massive. I was going to walk back down the road, but I think I'm going to push back through Gazoo's woods here. I found the pug again, which we couldn't find at night, but I mean, it was night, but it had moved. It was about 30 feet, maybe a little more, to the right of where it had been before when you're facing the woods from the cemetery.
Okay. That's why we couldn't find it.
Yeah, it had been moved. But as I say on the audio there, its eyes had been ripped out. Like, it's laying on its side. Remember when we found it? It was sitting up all nice and new.
It was like, yeah, it was perfect. Like up against a tree.
It was like, but it was sitting upright, like perfect. And this was turned on its side and the eyes had been ripped out. Now, I know stuffed animals rot. This was creepy. It's so, just to have the eyes ripped out.
What gets me, though, is we see that the people who caretake that place, like they really go through and they clear out the woods and they cut up. Mm-hmm. They literally, like, you'll if you go there, you'll see where they like cut up trees and they stack the branches that they've cleared out of the woods. But yet the stuffed animals are allowed to remain there.
I can't explain it. I don't know. I thought it was really creepy.
Yeah, it is kind of creepy.
Then I go in the cemetery and I see something I thought was a mouse. So there's a hole by one of the gravestones.
This was during the day.
This is during the day. I thought there was a mouse in there. And I'm looking at it. I keep seeing it move around. Well, up out of this hole comes this wolf spider. It was the biggest wolf spider I'd ever seen. It was like a small tarantula. This thing was massive. Covered with, if you don't know, wolf spiders, they have babies, the mothers, and the babies just climb on their back
and they
carry them along. And if they find another mother with babies, they will fight. They'll fight to the death. And the mother that wins, all the babies from the other one go and crawl on the winner's back.
That's crazy.
Yeah. That's the way wolf spiders work. Well, I think this one had won a few fights because it was just covered with babies. I put the photo on Instagram. I think I got the most responses of that than anything I put up in recent times.
When you sent it to me, I'm like, what is that? Like, it took a second. I was like, because it looked like a spider. I'm like, but where's it? Its legs? And
it was
like,
just, the legs just come out of
the mask.
Yeah.
But then once you said what it was, I'm like, oh, okay, I see it now. Yeah. But at first I was like, is that like a trapdoor spider? Like,
it was so creepy.
That's nuts.
So creepy. I'm not afraid of spiders. I'm not creeped out by spiders. But this was particularly like, whoa. Like, I was definitely, they do get a little bit more aggressive when they have the babies. They don't mess around because they're ready for a fight, I think. But I did take a picture. That was neat. That wasn't, that wasn't anything woo. It was just a cool thing that was in the cemetery. And then I found the remnants of that pony are still there, but that had been moved as well. And had there's a wooden fence that goes around that cemetery.
Mm-hmm.
Had a fence rail.
On top of it.
Sitting on top of it.
That's weird.
Yeah. I was going to walk back down the road. I didn't know if I was pushing things by going through Gazoo's woods twice by myself. But then I thought, you know what? Don't be a wimp. Go back through the woods. And see what happens, right? So I made up my mind. I'm going back through the woods. I start going back down the woods, and I see the side trail. I don't know why we never took it before. I'm just going to take this. It's a big, wide side trail. I'm going to take it. I'm going to see where this goes. It's not marked. It's not blazed or anything. And I follow this trail a little ways, and it splits into a Y. I took the left side of the Y just because the right side went downhill, and I didn't want to deal with walking back uphill on the way back. So yeah, this
don't blame you.
Yeah. I'll just go to the left. I walk a little bit further, and the trail gets narrower and narrower as I go. And after a while, I'm like, am I still on the trail? And I thought, if I go any further, I'm going to need to blaze this so I can find my way back. And I just, it's like, well, it's my first day hiking alone. I'd done quite a, you know, it's
don't
not
push
a,
it.
Yeah, it's not a super long hike. I didn't want to go. And plus, it wasn't it was a pretty warm day. I got to watch the heat with MS and stuff. So I went back, but we're going to have to go find that side trail and see where it goes. That was very interesting.
I think we didn't go down it because, like, the not that night that we were there, but the first time you took me there, it was like towards the end of the day.
We'd done a lot of hiking that day.
We'd done a lot of hiking, yeah. And we just weren't, you know.
So I decided to go back down through the woods. And I'll play these last segments. I just got Chad's tap, I think, on my shoulder. Okay, I'm going to allow that could have been a cicada. It flew into me particularly hard. But I didn't see one. I turned around and looked. I didn't see one bounce off of me. Oh, there goes something in the woods. So this is right as I was coming out of Kazoo's woods and into the other part of the woods. Before you get to Kazoo's woods, there's like another part with a gazebo and so forth. I'm going to say that was... I guess I'm going to hope that was a cicada. I don't know. And then I heard something off in the woods to my right. It could have been a nothing. The woods are just so darn loud today. Okay, as I got to the Jeep, I heard... like real slight, not heavy, not like Babe Ruth sluggers, but almost like taps. Coming from, I'm guessing, Kazoo's woods, right up above me. It's a whole series of them. Kind of rhythmic. So I forgot to tell you this. I think I got your, maybe, I don't know. Could have been a cicada flying into me. If it did, it flew into me pretty hard. Right as I was coming out of the part that we call Kazoo's woods and into the other woods, I think I got your tap. Remember you said something tapped on the shoulder?
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that.
I think I got either that or a cicada flew into me really hard, but I turned right around. I didn't see a cicada on the ground. There wasn't one on my shirt. There wasn't, you know, let's go ahead and say it was a cicada. I don't know. Something tapped me.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that now because we were at the edge of the cemetery that mm-hmm. night. And I said, did you just tap me? Because it was like you tapped me on the shoulder, like on the top of my arm.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
No, I didn't.
You did. No, you didn't touch me at all. He's fond of me, but not that fond.
I have no problem tapping on the shoulder if I need to get your attention.
No, you've done that numerous times.
And then, so I get back to the car and I'm loading my stuff up. And sure enough, from the direction of Kazoo's woods, I hear a series of, like, I don't want to call them wood knocks because they weren't super loud. This wasn't like a baseball bat hitting a tree. It was like rhythmic taps.
Hmm.
Like if someone had like a light stick or something and was tapping on a tree.
I think we heard some of them that night.
We may have.
I mean, there's so much going on. We couldn't take note of it all.
This was loud enough to hear over the din of the cicadas. Of course, I didn't have my recorder running because I was putting all my gear, you know, in the car at that time. So, you know, don't know what that was.
That's the first I heard that. You didn't even tell me.
Yeah, I forgot to tell you that. In fact, I forgot until I was listening back to the audio, and I made a note. You know, I turned the recorder back on to talk about it. Kazoo's woods.
Kazoo's woods.
Very intense. I will say that I talked to another guy who's been doing Bigfoot stuff in Maryland for a long, long time, and he says he's recorded, boy, I want to say, probably not even a half mile from there. You know, there's that main trail that runs by it.
Mm-hmm.
He was down on that main trail north.
Okay.
Not far at all. And he said he recorded a series of screams there that he has, you know, no clue what they are. He said they were like loud and scary.
Wow.
He said that area is pretty active. Again, if we're talking about a breeding population of monkey men, not there.
Not there, no
not
way.
Not there.
No way.
So
no way.
Tell me what it is. I don't know. Things I just want to stress the fact that we just felt things were all around us. They were close to us. We couldn't see a thing. At some point, we figured out wait, these things are being thrown at us because we heard it coming through the leaves. Right.
When we say couldn't see a thing, we mean like there was nothing there. It wasn't like we couldn't see into the woods.
Right. No.
There was just nothing there.
Yeah. We couldn't see what was making the sounds, even though the sounds were repeatedly near us. It wasn't cicadas flying around at night. It just wasn't. I don't know how to prove that to anyone, but it wasn't. I know it wasn't.
No.
Some eerie sounds were recorded. We re-recorded. But the clincher for me was when we were down on the bottom and you asked for the gift and got the immediate cry in response. And then I asked for something to be thrown at us and immediately something hit beside us.
It was more focused down there. It was more focused down there versus in the cemetery.
Yeah. Yeah.
The cemetery was like a lot of stuff.
It was like a cyclone.
It was like a cyclone. And, yeah. You know, we had owls going off. And when the owls were getting loud, that's when it really got super intense and it kind of died down. But that down there was more focused. And
I agree.
And it was more like, you know, like I said, literally something was like, what do I do with these guys? You know, it was more, it seemed like more of an intelligence or something was ahead of us, if that makes any sense. To me, it did.
Yeah, I mean, yes. what you're saying makes sense. I don't know if the whole experience makes any sense whatsoever. I was impressed. It's hard to beat Pandemonium because Pandemonium was very intense and very visceral, and those wood knocks were so, like, in our face. You know, they were just right there. But this was something. This was really something. And to have it be so responsive right in the row. To be honest, I was like a little like, oh, Chad asked this thing and got this reply back. And then I was like, I'm going to ask for something too.
it was almost like Harry Springs in its responsiveness. It's similar, but different.
That both of us getting that immediate response.
It was definitely.
Like, if something wasn't thrown at us, what are the chances of something falling out of the tree and landing right next to us, you know, right at that moment?
Right, and this isn't fall.
No.
There's no acorns falling down, you know.
And there was, when we were up on the other end, it was like stuff was constantly going around. At this point, we weren't getting that constant, like, sound of stuff all around us. This was like...
It was focused.
Very, you know, very quiet other than that cry. And I think when we first went into the area we call Gazoo's Woods, you said, here we go. And I think
there was a couple little taps.
Something, yes.
Like something barking. Like,
yep. But then at the point where we saw the eyes and all that, there wasn't things to just have that immediate response. You asked for something, got the cry back. And I just said, well, throw something at us. Don't hit us. Throw something near us. And right away, it just hits and it's loud. You can hear it.
And then after that, it was a standoff.
It kind of was.
Do we go forward? You know, and it's...
In the nice comfort of recording area here, you know, the lights are on and we're not there. I'm kind of like, why didn't we stay longer? It's different when you're there.
Yeah.
It's different when you're there. You kind of know when it's time to go.
Oh, you do know when it's time to go. You do. Wow. So how would you rate this in our experiences together? I mean...
As far as...
Like if you would rate, I mean, with Pandemonium being like the most, that was probably still,
Pandemonium was definitely the most intense.
Most intense.
That was the most intense.
This is close.
This got close, but it had that almost. See, we didn't try to get anything in response or anything at Pandemonium. We were the reactive ones. In Pandemonium.
Yeah.
We were being reactive to what was happening around us.
You know, because it was a different feel.
Yeah.
It was more, I don't want to say malevolent, but it was like, you know, we didn't know what we were dealing with at that point.
I mean, we
never know what we're dealing with.
Right.
But we didn't have as many experiences of this magnitude under our belt as we do now.
If Pandemonium happened tomorrow, I would probably try to say something to the woods. You know, and
we weren't doing that at that point.
So Pandemonium definitely the most intense. And as far as the audio we got, I don't know. There's some sounds in this one that's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive. But yeah, I put this right up there with Pandemonium, honestly. I was like, Pandemonium kind of edges it out because we stayed the whole night and we kind of had the full immersive experience there.
Yeah, I think also the fact that in Pandemonium, you're out there.
Yeah.
you're in the middle of basic nowhere. I mean, we still had access to the vehicle, but still, it's a long drive out.
Oh, yeah.
There's only one way out. Mm-hmm. You know, here, it's not isolated.
No.
Which in itself is kind of wild.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
that in itself just makes it even more like kind of...
Yeah. Well, I told you, there's a shelter there. We can stay there.
Well...
We got to get permission, but we can stay there.
Yeah, so, we'll do that. Right. I mean, I'm already like, let's go.
Let's see what happens. So, yeah, we'll be back. Yeah, I think Gazoo's Woods is, it goes right up there with Pandemonium and Site 7 as far as, and Harry Springs, as far as these places that we're going to have to kind of frequent and see what happens.
Yeah, it's almost like a cycle now. And
yeah, and, you know, I can't help but feel there's some kind of connection. Like, I know how woo it sounds when I talk about these stuffed animals and stuff.
Woo!
It seems more than coincidence with these things. That pug seems more than coincidence. The fact that, you know, the gorilla and that pony I recognize as stuffed animals I bought my kids. You know, when I say my kids, I don't have young kids anymore. My kids are going to graduate high school next year, you know? So... these stuffed animals, I got them when they were little.
It was years ago.
Yeah. Yes, the fact that I'm recognizing these things, you know what I mean? It's so weird. The whole thing is so weird. And I know, like, you could probably chart the woo in Strange Familiars from the beginning to now and, like, just see the woo factor just go up and up and up the further we go with this stuff. But I can't help but note it and feel like, you know, there's some kind of connection there. I don't know what it is, but... there you go. So we'll be back. Gazoo, we're coming back. Get ready for us.
Yeah, we are coming back. Oh, one thing you didn't mention.
Yeah.
The dreams.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I completely forgot about that.
So.
So just like Pandemonium. Pandemonium, we both had bad dreams there.
In place.
In place. And then we both had dreams of this scary... I call her the Pandemonium Hag. I hope that's not offensive to this dream entity, whatever she is. She's certainly hag-like.
Yeah,
Both had dreams of her afterwards. I had multiple every time I messed with the audio for the Wilderness Geist Pandemonium album. Every time I listen to it all the way through, it seems like I have a dream of this woman who isn't pleasant.
No.
At least she hasn't been in either of our dreams.
Thank you.
So we get home from Gazoo's Woods that night, and I woke up with a cry. I think I mentioned this on the podcast before when I was talking about the little preview of Gazoo's Woods. I thought I would have woken Allison up. She's usually a pretty light sleeper, but I didn't. I cried out. In the dream, just you and I, we were in Gazoo's Woods, and something was barreling through the woods at us. Didn't see it. It was just coming. It was just barreling through the woods at us, and it was just like I just woke up with a start. That's all I remember. Scary enough to wake me up with the cry. I texted you, I guess, and said, you know, did you have any dreams last night?
Yeah.
So what was yours?
Yeah, well, I think I woke up like two or three times. But the one I remember was we were on the trail and we saw the red eyes. And I like flashed the, you know, we were down in Gazoo's Woods in the trail, you know, the area down from the cemetery. And I swung the flashlight around towards the eyes. And all I saw was like, it was like something was blocking the light and there was like a big dark shadow. So it looked like literally like a big shape, big hairy shape. And then you saw the red eyes and then it had like a helmet on. But it wasn't a Gazoo helmet. It was right. Like that World War II German shaped helmet. Mm-hmm. You know, it has that odd silhouette.
Uh-huh.
It didn't have the little pickle one. It wasn't the one from World War I. It was the one from World War II. And it was just there, and I was like, ah! And then I woke up.
Wow.
But it was just like a black, like, outline.
Bigfoot in a helmet.
Bigfoot in a helmet, yeah. I guess. I don't know. But that's what I saw. And I was just, and I woke up, and I was scared because I was like, ah! You know, I was like, and then I'm like, what the heck was
that? That is bizarre.
That was really bizarro.
But, again, you wonder, you know, the connection to the first Gazoo picture I snapped. Like I said, it looked like somebody in a green helmet. I don't know.
I don't know, man.
I don't know. All right, so, again, if you figure out where it is, please be respectful. Please get the permission that you're supposed to get to be there. And don't bother the areas around it. There are some residences close by. Don't bother people and don't make a lot of noise. if you establish a gifting area, I would suggest that it be away from any ones that are currently
there. and keep it. I don't want to say keep it small, but you know, keep it.
Yeah, don't be like
unobtrusive.
Yeah, don't be cutting trees down. Don't leave anything that's not natural. We left a stone, for instance, when it's not like we're leaving like, you know, plastic toys or anything that can be pollution, you know, be considered pollution or anything. This was literally just a rock we left. Yeah, just use good sense and be kind to the environment and be kind to people who do live, you know, relatively close by.
And if you may ask any questions, word them right.
Be careful what you ask.
Yeah, be careful how you ask it.
All right, Chad, hey, this is the first time Chad's been in the studio since the virus. It's kind of cool to be back.
Yeah, it is cool. We're getting back to normal a little bit now.
Yeah, so thanks for coming out, Chad.
Yeah, not a problem, man. It's great being back.
This tintype feels different.
Does it?
Yes. Maybe it's just because it's got something on the back. I don't know. I tell you this, I didn't think it was a tintype until you put it in my hand.
Well, here's the thing about tintypes. While they might have started in the mid-1800s, they were in use in souvenir, holiday, seaside kind of places, destination areas. Into the 30s and 40s, people were still doing like little holiday-based tintypes. I think that's probably what this is, because you can see from the clothing, this is not a Victorian guy. This is definitely later.
He looks like he could be one of the creepy professors from Secta, honestly.
He does. That's kind of why I picked him out today. And he definitely doesn't look like a 1800s era tintype.
It doesn't. I thought, honestly, when you're holding the photo before you, like I said, before you put it in my hand, I thought, oh, that's just a photo from the 40s or 50s or something.
Yeah, but, like the toning's different. The whole process looks a little different.
Now, did they keep doing tintypes as a novelty or because they didn't update their equipment?
I think a little of both. I think it was probably people that got started in that era and then continued. You know how sometimes when you're at a vacation destination, things are a little behind the times.
Sure. Some people are still doing those iron-on decals.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he's actually wearing a shirt that says Ocean City 86 on it.
Let's open a tintype stand.
Like to sell to...
Yeah, to take tintypes. And...
Well, there is a movement of like...
I know.
Modern alternative process photographers.
We met a guy. I'm going to start a pinhole stand. I just take pinhole camera pictures of people.
Very, very, very slowly.
Yes, don't move for minutes. The sun's going down. Don't move for 2.5 hours.
But he's a creepy, unsettling guy.
If you go to the show notes under this episode at strangefamiliars.com, you can see an image of this photograph. If you click on that, it'll take you to our Etsy shop where you can buy this and other photos of the week. While you're on Etsy, check out our shop. The shop name is Lost Grave, but if you type in Strange Familiars, our stuff will come up. I've been adding some artwork there, some little drawings I've been doing, some little illustrations. I think there's a flannel man I sneaked up there that people haven't probably noticed yet. So often I announce stuff, and then people scoop it up right away. This one, I snuck it up there just to see how long it would stay.
A serendipity one.
You can get copies of all my books, and when you get them from us on Etsy, they come signed by me. Strange Familiars t-shirts and more. Check out everything there. While you're on Etsy, make sure to check out Chad's shop, Ruck Rabbit Outdoors. He's got a bunch of new axes, I think. I don't know if he's putting them up on Etsy or if he's saving them. He's doing some woodsman events. But we've been keeping our eye out. We got him a couple axes. I know, and he told me he scored a bunch of axes when I saw him the other day. And check out our friends at Karmic Garden. One word, Karmic Garden. They have the Flannel Man scent and the bespoke Strange Familiar scent. And much more Karmic Garden on Etsy. Etsy is a great way to support us. Another great way to support us is by becoming a patron. That's the best way to support us. You can become a patron at Patreon. It's patreon.com/strangefamiliars. Our patrons get one full episode a month? No, two full episodes of Strange Familiars every month.
The value has doubled recently.
Yes. I want to give everything we can to our patrons because without them, no Strange Familiars. Without you patrons, no Strange Familiars. Thank you, patrons. Thank you so much. Patreon.com/strangefamiliars. There's all different tiers of support there. You can get bonus content or you can go in and get things like artwork, copies of my books, t-shirts, and more. patreon.com/strangefamiliars. If you don't like the idea of a subscription service like Patreon and you just want to help with a one-time donation, you can go to the show notes under any episode at strangefamiliars.com, look for the paypal.me link, you can click that and make a one-time donation. While we're talking about people who support us, I would like to thank Susan S. from California. She sent a really nice card and some support for the show along with it. Thank you so much, Susan. It's a great big help. Thank you. First patron show for June should come immediately after this episode, within a day or two. Second patron show, the more relaxed one, going to have a little appearance from Brother Richard. We talked to him about another topic. He'll be coming up on the regular show. But then we kind of had a more relaxed conversation with Brother Richard, where Allison got to ask Brother Richard some questions. So that's coming up on the second patron show a little bit later in the month. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back soon with more Strange Familiars. Strange Familiars is a production of Dark Holler Arts, music, books, art, podcast, and more. Intro and background music is by Stone Breath. If you want to hear more or purchase music from Stone Breath, you can go to stonebreath.bandcamp.com. Strange Familiars is on Facebook, facebook.com/strangefamiliars, where you can join the Strange Familiars gathering group. We're on Instagram. You can find us there, at Strange Familiars. And if you're wandering around the web, afraid of wolf spiders, carrying their babies all over them. Wolf spiders don't spin webs anyway. They hunt like wolves.
Hence the name.
Yes. They run their prey down. In any case, if you're lost in the sticky, sticky World Wide Web and you're looking for us, you can always find us at strangefamiliars.com.
When I was young, there was a tree. Spoke to me in cracks and creeks upon the breeze. The kids told me the witch was hanged, all from a branch in that tree for all to see. It was her ghost that was speaking from that dead tree where she did dwell, as I pass by in the dark night. She called to me, the witch tree. I heard my name on the lonely. no more to cream. No more to speak. She called to me. The witch tree. I heard my name on the breeze. She's free, no longer bound on that cursed ground.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.